To Star Wars Lore with Idiots, a show where grown men are completely convinced that a parsec is a unit of time, and our host, Ranger Day, realizes that today was just the wrong day to quit sniffing glue.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another Reality Skewed Gamers Lore with Idiots, where yours truly, Ranger J 1999, tries to teach a bunch of idiots Star Wars lore, and it usually goes to hell in a handbasket. Glad to have you guys here. We record this every Sunday and put it out to the masses every Friday of the same week. However, if you're a Patreon, you get it early. Not only do you get it early, you can get input and let us know what you think of the series. So if you haven't thought about it, become a patron. It's linked in the description. It's at Reality Skewed Gamers at Patreon. You can find us easily. And that all goes toward what we're doing. People are really digging the lore series. So we've been able to expand it into podcast form. We've got it on Amazon and Podbean right now. Still waiting for something that's going on with Spotify, but I'm working diligently in the background to try to get it on Spotify. I gave up on iTunes, so that'll be something in the future. But if you like that, go to those sites. You can download it. You can listen to it as much as you want. And we have it on a playlist on YouTube, so feel free to listen, leave comments. They're always appreciated. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe, and there you go. That being said, let's meet the idiots and see what they're up to today. We start off with Ram. Ram, you had a very trying Friday. I put you and Heinze through hell, and I got my revenge for all the hell you put me through. So, glorious day for me, and a not-so-glorious day for you and Mr. H. So... how are you, Ram? How's the mouth after the world's hottest chip challenge? And what are you drinking today?
The mouth is fine now. It struggled Saturday morning, but the chip is not fun. I don't like it. Yeah.
He had some customer complaints.
Yeah. Never seen
I went Karen on that. Okay, theme. You did not say this. Just chip was too hot,
bro. You should have seen Ram on Friday. He was as quiet as I've ever seen him. Just mouth closed, and he was doing so horribly in 3v3. And what was killing me, why I was just dying, almost fell in my chair twice laughing so hard, is that every time he would do something wrong in the game, like Vin Seal was there, and he would, every time he failed, be like, wah, 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 wah. And every time he had a bad move in the game, it'd be like, and Ram was in so much pain, he just sat there just like,
because it hurt to even open my mouth. That's why I was being so quiet. It's like every time I open my mouth, the oxygen would just come in and then reignite the chip. I'm just like, oh,
yeah. I've done all those before, like the ghost pepper, that the chip, I've done the chocolate. You know, it's just pain. It's just all it is pain. You just put it in and it's pain. And
At that high intensity, it's not spice. It's just flaring every receptor you've got in your mouth.
It's just agony. So there you go. Also join us is Karth. Karth, how are you this fine morning? How are, anything special? Oh, I didn't. Ram, what are you drinking today? Anything? Or are you just drinking? You drinking any alcohol today? Okay, I'm gonna assume that's a yes. He just showed a beverage, not telling us what's inside the damn beverage, but that's
because there's something inside of
it. Okay,
mouth.
Jack Daniels. Okay, yeah, Jack Daniels. Okay, there you go.
Jack and Dr. Pepper. Something.
Yeah, I am not drinking today because I gotta be outside for about 6 hours after this, and then I do the Dr. Pepper zero calorie, zero sugar cream strawberry soda, and it's the best zero calorie diet drink ever because it actually has taste. I don't feel like I'm drinking medicine like the other ones. Karth, anything slip into the old coffee today, buddy? How are you doing?
No, just coffee today. I've been powering through a lot of Survivor. So it's been, no spoilers, but I started playing Friday and I've been playing quite a bit. And so I'm just drinking coffee because I got to be at my A game, which is not even enough for this game. I'm just relearning the mechanics is a
B minus game. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. So there you go.
You can play, you can have a good time.
And last but not least, Big K, round it all up. What's going on there, Big K? How's your weekend? And what you drinking, buddy?
Today we will be drinking a fistful of bourbon.
Oh.
Wow. Thank God that's the name of the bourbon. I wasn't looking at the camera right this second. Like, I was like, oh God.
Yeah, no.
Guys, don't do it. You're still a young man. All right. Very good. So as is tradition, I get let these potato heads Try to, if they, I don't know. How do you guys want to play? I always ask you guys, do you want me to, do you want to just make some
I'm
guesses?
Down to guess. I'm
down to guess. Okay. Okay. Down to guess.
You gave us a hint last week.
I did. I asked if you guys wanted the hint or do you just want to go straight into naked guessing? And you guys chose the hint last. Pretty much gave it away. So do you guys just want to guess this week or do you want me to give you the quote?
I'm good at a guess because you already, you gave us a hint. You said this week is going to be about a faction.
Yes. All right. Okay. What do you got for me? What do you think?
All right. I think the faction we're going to talk about is the Mon Calamari, and we're going to go over the biology of the Mon Calamari.
It's not even close. Nope.
Hey, at least it was actually Star Wars related.
I know, right? I was thinking
that's a good, it's a broad shot, but you know,
Care Bears,
it's there.
Maybe some Thundercats. Yeah. I don't know. But he did keep in the Star Wars realm, and I appreciate that about him. All right, Ram, you look a little dazed and confused as always. What do you got for me? I know it's something stupid, but you know the rules. Nothing mace related, anything real life or anything in the universe, even remotely possible with it.
So I'm actually going to branch out here, and I'm not going to say anything Mace Windu related. I actually think that we're going to talk about the species that is, you know, the famous guy called Groot. We're going to talk about his race and species, you know, since we've already covered Styx and like magical powers of the Styx.
No.
You know, what more, what better to talk about than a Styx related race?
Yeah, I mean, didn't he create the new axe for Thor with part of his body?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Yeah,
that,
so,
that would explain why that Styx is so powerful. It comes from Groot.
Yeah, whatever. Not
it was. It was overgrown for so long that it just engulfed the lightsaber.
I mean, if y'all
want to
get a room and go do another recording, go ahead. But that is wrong. Karth, your turn.
I think we're going to talk about the ISB.
Not a bad one either.
Ooh,
not a bad one.
I like that actually.
It's actually pretty good. So two out of the three gave Star Wars related possible answers. Ram shit the bed as always. No, those are all wrong. So I'm gonna
those Huggies are stained brown now.
Yeah, they really are. I'm gonna give you the quote, and then let's see if anybody wants just you think you got it, just say your answer. So here's
sure.
The quote. For all the evil the enemy do, they aren't dark. Exactly. The enemy are entirely outside the force. That's your quote in. Marinate a little bit in what brain matter you have left. Anybody that's got a guess, shout it out.
The Wills?
Not a bad guess, actually, Karth, but not quite, no. I can see where you were going with that, but no.
Since he was close, is it Willis Drummond? Like,
what?
It's a faction, man.
Talk about Willis.
Oh,
Ram, any conjecture on your end?
I'm gonna go with the Force.
We've covered the Force already, Dunny.
It's a faction.
Well, the faction could be a Force too.
Sure.
Yeah, we talked about like the Force as the Force, but what if there's a faction called the Force? We don't know. We're idiots.
That's so true.
The living
is true.
Force and energy is a faction. That's what you want to go with.
Yeah.
You're stupid. All right, moving on. Today we're going to cover, and I don't know what you guys know about them. They're one of my favorite evil factions, and from a certain point of view, but I think I'll let the facts speak for themselves. The Yushan Vong are our topic for today.
Oh, wow. We're going way out of left field.
We're going way out of left field. If you guys
No, that was going to be my second guess.
We're headed straight for Legends content.
Yeah, this
my
is
head
all
wanted
legend.
My head wanted to stay close to the newer stuff because you were
I know.
We had been hitting up the new shows, and I was like, oh, okay.
It made sense, you know, because you know, Ahsoka trailer just came out. I'm like, well, let's cover some Ahsoka, right? And then, you know, and then
sure.
You know, Mando had just ended. I'm like, well, you know, Katie Sackhoff, God damn it, she's amazing, and I want to talk about that character. So we covered those two the last couple
Ram.
Times.
Hey, Ram, you part of the 2%?
2% what?
You remember? No, oh, check your no. NSF in your Discord.
Oh, God.
I tagged you in that like a week ago.
Question. What do bongs have to do with Star Wars?
Bong, V-O-N-G.
Oh, I think you said bong, yeah, V-O-N-G.
These aren't a space-dwelling, smoking...
It's the 420 sector.
Yes, the 420 sector. Outside of the Outer Rim, you get to the 420.
Yeah.
420 somewhere in the galaxy.
It's cast. a very lush planet in that sector.
Not even a planet, yeah, no. Anybody know anything about the Vong? Before we begin,
absolutely vague mentions. I haven't read them in 15 years.
Yeah. And it's looking from everyone's face that that's a no. So I'm going to read some passages to give you guys an idea of the Vong. Then I want to talk about it because I'm not going to get into all their battles and things of that nature. I will say that the Vong were first introduced, and I remember just blowing my mind, and some of the most epic moments I've ever, two of the most epic moments, or a couple of them that I've read in the legend books, came from the entire Vong series. It's a ton of books. I got a ton of them behind me. The first one was Vector Prime, and I'd never read anything like this before in the Star Wars. Up to that point, everything had been self-contained, and it had been stuff that you know, the Imperial Remnant and this faction that got away, and they're starting to remember, and the Galactic Republic and Rogue Squadron, and we had the new Jedi Order, and then, you know, they're on Yavin 4. It was all self-contained, right? Vector Prime, and it was controversial at the time because a lot of stuff happened. I'll tell you some of the stuff that happens because it's spoilers, but this is 20-something years ago, right? Chewbacca dies, saving... In this series, Han and Leia get married, and they have three children. The twins, Jason and Jaina, and their younger son, Anakin Solo. Chewbacca dies saving Anakin when the Vong first make their initial push. And we're going to talk about how... when I give you these numbers, what the Vong do, you're going to probably think I'm making this up, but these are the actual estimated numbers for what they did. Also, later on in the series, Anakin Solo, who is one of my favorite characters ever in any legendary book, he dies as well. The Vong invasion has, in the Legends books, has the most profound impact out of anything that has ever happened in the Star Wars galaxy, period. More than Revan, more than the Sith Empire, more than anything, even the Rakata, we've talked about all these other factions. None of them come close to what the Vong pull off. Okay? So I just wanted to let that marinate in your minds. The Vong were such a threat for the first time in galactic history. Everybody banded together to fight them because it was life or death. Mandalorian, Empire, New Republic, Hutt Cartel. They were like, you know... We're dying here. We might want to pull a resource together to fight this incredible, powerful thing that is going through and consuming the entire galaxy. And it's brutal. There is no holding punches in this series. People die. People get tortured. You'll see why, because of how the Vong is with the way they are about what they do. But let me read you a little bit about, you know, just from, you know, I get this stuff from Wikipedia and other stuff. Some of this other stuff I'm going to talk about, just my knowledge of it. Okay. So just in general, right? Let's talk just in general what the Vong are. I'll tell you what they look like. I got to get into the religion and the caste system. Then I'm going to tell you some stuff about them, okay? So the Vong, they refer to themselves as the children of Yushan. It's Y-U-U-Z-H-A-N. Yushan is what I always say. And that's their main deity. They have seven deities. We're going to cover them because they play a major impact in how they their beliefs, how they act, everything that they do. They call themselves the chosen race. They were known to the Chiss and the Forans as far outsiders, and sometimes incorrectly abbreviated to Vong. And I'll mainly refer to them as the Vong. I know they don't like it, but fuck them. But in their society, because you don't say Vong, because when you do, it implied that you have been sown by their family and their gods. They were a nomadic, extragalactic, sentient species that nearly destroyed the entire galaxy and were responsible for the deaths of nearly 300 trillion sentient beings during their invasion of the galaxy.
Is that all? Come on. Rookie numbers. First order knocked that out.
Those are organic beings that they slaughtered. You should see when we get to the droids.
Well, it's like one or two more.
Put that in the billion, quadrillions, whatever. It's
What's the next one after trillion? Yeah. I don't math that hard.
Google.
One gajillion dollars.
Why make trillions when we can make billions? they originate outside the known galaxy. There is a book series. There was a book where I'm gonna talk about this real quick. There's a book series. There was a Jedi. I don't remember her name. She's kind of a bird creature. Her and Kenobi and Anakin went to this planet. It's a living planet. And it was the New Republic or Galactic Republic book. But they went there. I can't remember what the details, but it was a book and it's a living planet. The planet is alive. It's, you know, full a living being. And the planet's alive. And they discover some cool stuff about it and that it's a live planet. But she stays on that planet. They leave, but the planet disappears. We don't know it at the time in the series because this book came after these other books or in the middle of them. I can't remember if it came out before. But later on, you find out that was the Vong's original world. They've been searching for it for this whole time. A lot of stuff happens, and it's going to change what the Vong become 150 years from this point that where we're at in the Legends canon, to change the Vong, their ways, and they actually become allies of the New Republic. But we'll get to that.
Isn't that the book where Anakin creates like the seed ship?
Yeah, that's exactly okay. What it is. Yes.
All right. I read that one. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah. Wow, right. You forget about these books, but it, you know, and it tie, it all gets tied back in because you run into her again because she's a convert sort of, and is the one that kind of helps Jason through his ordeal with the Vong. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't remember her name. I didn't. It's just something that I just wanted to relay to you guys.
No, yeah, no. I just it's been a yeah. It's so long.
So long ago. So the Vong, when they say originally out of the known galaxy, this is true. They had lost their planet millennium ago, and they had been wandering way out there in parts that no one's ever seen before. Let's talk about what they look like. So a typical Vong resembles a human. It's humanoid in human form. They were much taller and heavier than the average human and had less hair on their head. The Vong were religious zealots, and I mean zealots. They viewed mechanical technology as blasphemy. Their technological innovations were genetically engineered and purely organic. And I'm going to talk about that here in a second. Additionally, the Vong deeply respected pain to the point of masochism and strove to improve their physical capabilities through organ grafting. Such grafting was a status symbol within the Vong society. Perhaps most notably, the Vong were unable to be sensed through the Force. This is a big one. This confounded the Jedi and the Sith who first encountered the Vong. However, they were susceptible to some Force-based attacks. Let's get into what this paragraph just said. So, to the Vong, anything mechanical is the devil. And it must be destroyed. Anybody who uses said devices are the devil and must be destroyed. So when I say 300 trillion sentient beings were killed because of them, that's why. They would go in, they would just take over a planet, and then they would destroy everything technological. And then they would start terraforming the planet because, again, their technology is based bioengineered. And then they would either kill the population or enslave the population and to do some of the stuff that they needed to do. They were, you know, we talked about the Mandalorians, when they were doing their thing back in the day that caused Revan to step up. They ain't got nothing on the Vong. The Vong were just, they didn't have care. And we'll get into why that is here in a second, but I want to talk about their technology. Their technology is bioengineered, and by that it's organic. Everything they have is alive. It's a creature. Okay. So their ships are coral, living coral, from their small starfighters to their big capital ship, right? They don't use lasers. They use like plasma magma that they fire as like a bolt that will hit you and it can take away a ship's shields or melt a ship or destroy it. They don't use shields. They have creatures that create little black holes that suck in laser beams and missiles and stuff and destroy it. So instead of shields, they create a wormhole, a black hole in small little pockets that just sucks the stuff in and then gets rid of it. Their armor is alive. Their staff weapons is their preferred staff weapons of their warrior class are alive. It's a staff that's strong enough to block a lightsaber, but it's alive. You can use it as a living whip, as a snake. You can use it and it can get really hard and use it as a staff. If they want to have night vision, they have a creature crawl into their eye socket and lets them see. They want to hear something. They have creatures that crawl into their ear, and that's how they do that. Everything about them is bioengineered. It's alive. Their armor, their weapons, everything. And the Vong are into pain because it's part of their religion. And one of the things, as I just read it, is as you progress in their society, mutilation, masochism, you cut off parts of your body, one, to try to look like their gods, but two, to replace it with, you know, a living creature that would be, so you could have a claw that was a living claw that could shoot poison or something like that, or have extra strength, those kind of things. So you have to think that's what the Vong do. That's what they strove for. They were all about scars and hurting themselves, battle scars, you know, killing the enemy. They're not us. They got to go. You know, especially if they're technological. But even if you weren't Vong, let's say you were a peace-loving hippie planet, and you're like, oh, welcome. Well, they didn't care. Yeah, he's got a picture of them right there for you there, Cash, what they look like. The men more than the women would do this. That being said, it depended on what class you're in, what your job was in the Vong society. Their weapons were injured. The other thing, too, is the Force thing. When the Jedi and the Sith first encounter them, they can't feel them in the Force at all. Like, they don't exist. They're outside of the Force. What they had to learn is that they could, like, if they did Force push, a normal person would get thrown. That we've seen it in the shows and movies and stuff. It would barely touch them. So what the Sith really figured it out more than the Jedi. But the Sith figured, you know, Force choke still works. There's still a tangible thing. I could still crush or cut off the air from them. Or Force lightning worked really well. And because they couldn't sense them when they were around beings, they would be like little black dots in the Force. That's how that they would figure where the Vong were and how many there were and stuff like that. Instead of trying to sense in the Force, they would try to be like, what am I
it's not the absence feeling? Of the Force.
Right. Where am I feeling that absence? That was the way it would work. So they were an incredible enemy for all parties considered, whether it was military, the Jedi, the Sith, Mandalorian. It didn't matter. They were incredibly tough opponents. And it makes one of my favorite scenes. I always talk about this. You guys have heard this. Prego Mary Jade fighting a bunch of Vushan Vong warriors and kicking their ass. That just tells you how powerful Prego Mary Jade is. Right, that being said, before we get into the religion and cult and society and things of that nature, what questions do you guys have so far? As your brain must be going a million miles an hour over there.
So they're like the ultimate vegetarians, vegans.
No, they ate meat.
Oh, well, but yeah. I'm saying, like, as far as, like, they want everything organic, they want everything, like, you know.
They like, what, not
organic. They're the definition of plant-based.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not just plant-based, just alive. It could be a plant or a creature, you know, but yeah. It just, they, you know, laser gun computers, you know, all that stuff, factories. They destroy mm-hmm. all of it. They, you know, and then, but they use their own terraform and their own technology to, they grow their own ships. They grow their own weapons. They grow their own armor. They have people that are specialized to do all this stuff in their society. And yeah, so how we go about, how we think about our technology is how they think their technology. The difference is I would look at their stuff and be like, oh, that's pretty cool. They look at our stuff like, you must die, infidel, and we must kill you and wipe out your entire race.
So they're the ultimate activists. You said calling them Vong was like really bad. Is that like their N-word?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it is, because in the Vong society, if you can't use your first name or be associated with the family and or, you know, whatever caste you're in, you're just a Vong. And that's like, you're garbage, you know. So until you redeem yourself, it's kind of like the N-word for the
until you take a bath, you cannot show yourself.
Yes. Good questions. What other questions you got there, Cash?
Oh my God. really more?
You're the one that I'm serious. You're just in there.
No, like, no. This has been really this has been a good one so far.
Yeah. Any other else before I get into more stuff?
I'm good right now.
Okay. So
I got nothing for you.
Yeah.
These guys look like George Lucas had to go watch a whole season of Star Trek and was like, I want to make Star Trek-esque characters.
I don't know.
And
I don't
just have them be like super sexy and like necromonic.
Dead not people. Even necromonic. I didn't. The Vong are just the Vong, dude.
They look like Star Wars type Star Trek people.
They look like goblin elves.
Well, the main Vong did, and they have certain.
I mean, look at that guy's forehead. He's got a rock hard forehead.
But if you looked into the higher caste system, they look more like their gods, which look nothing like that. So I'll have to get some pictures for you, but yeah. But you kind of get a sense of, you know, that's people's interpretation of their artwork and stuff. But
also,
yeah.
Their armor is very horny.
Oh, yeah. It's all about, like, damage. If you get close to them, they want you to suffer. Again, they're into pain. They love causing pain and inflicting pain on others and themselves. So, and the cool thing about the Vong is they don't have a high tolerance of pain. So when they get hurt, they feel it more than we would. The other thing about the Vong, they lived about the
they
same.
They like pain, but they can't take a lot of it?
No, they can. It's not that they can't take it. They just feel it more. So yeah,
they're more sensitive to it. They're not. Yeah. It's they can endure the pain, but they're more sensitive to the pain.
Yeah. And they were
think of more nerve endings.
Yes, yeah. That's a great way of doing it because they want to feel it. So to first understand the Yushan Vong, you have to understand their gods and their beliefs. What made them this way? Okay, so their religion is called the True Way in the Vong society, and it was very important to them. They were devout and had many gods. And prior to their defeat, and I wouldn't say defeat, kind of more like a mutual let's stop beating the shit out of each other kind of thing, believed that it was their duty to appease their gods' desires through conquest and genocide.
Pocahontas, so, this is no longer profitable.
It wasn't that, but I mean, it gets in the story with Jason and Jane. We'll talk about that when we get to one of the gods. What happened to my thing? Oh, this crap. Wait a second here. My notes got all jibbled up here.
It must have been when Ram said horny, like, you know. Siri or Alexa popped up something.
No, Alexa, not that website. Not right now.
Yeah, no, not right now.
You know the rule, Alexa. When the webcam's on, that stuff shuts off.
You know, it's interesting. How the hell do you lose a planet?
It's a long story. Basically, the planet rejected them. Because it's a living planet, and the Vong were very much different back then. They were very much, you tell, because everything's alive. That's because of the planet they were on, and they had a symbiotic relationship. And then when the Vong started believing in all this horseshit that we're going to get into, the planet was like, no. So
the better way to think of the planet is that planet was more like a Death Star that had the ability to travel. Where it's like, it's not like an actual planet. It's the way we wrap our minds around it, where it's not like you're in an orbit around a gravitational mass. You can't just go.
So that's, so like you approach you and be like, that's no moon. That's no planet.
That's no space station. That's a planet.
That's no space station. That's a living planet.
So their main god is Yun.
But they have a kick-ass narrator.
And all the gods will have Yun in their first name. So Yushan, that's their big deity, is the creator. And to them was the most powerful deity of their religion. He sacrificed most of his body parts to create the lesser deities in the Vong galaxy. Only the Supreme Lord had direct contact with him. The Vong, the reason that they cut off parts of their body and mutilate themselves the way they did is because they believe that the universe was created by Yushan and the others giving parts of their body to create the universe. So when they make sacrifice and then made sacrifices. So when they sacrifice stuff or they sacrifice parts of themselves, they believe that they are living up to the obligation of their gods, the main one being Yushan. The other one is we'll get down it. Yun Harla was the trickster, the cloaked goddess and goddess of deception and aggression. Harla represented the political caste. Having learned this information, the New Republic military had their top pilot, Jaina Solo, codenamed Trickster and Goddess, in an act of psychological warfare against the invaders, who would believe they were fighting the living form of one of their most powerful deities. Yamka was a slayer and the god of war. His image was of a multi-tentacle being and was the inspiration for the form of Yamask, who was one of their supreme leaders there. He was primarily worshipped by the war caste. He was actually created by the priest caste when the Vong turned to war. Nichelle was the modeler. She oversaw natural life cycles and was worshipped by the shapecasters, the guys that created everything. And then we get to the twins. And this is the big one, the lover gods. Zen and Kya. They were the lover gods and twins. Having a relationship outside one's caste was forbidden in Vong society, and disobeying automatically led to the sacrifice to the lover gods. You were not allowed to do that in the Vong society. But they were very much worshipped. And so in the books, when they see Jason and Jaina as twins, as a male and female twin, and Jason and Jaina would continuously kick their ass. That's why the New Republic took the idea of the trickster and of the twins and used that against the Vong. And the Vong actually believed at a certain time that that's who they were fighting, and it caused a lot of problems for them. Shuno was the partner. She had 1,000 eyes and watched over and spoke for the shamed ones, who were shunned by every Vushun Vong deity. She was the only deity the shamed ones who were allowed to worship. And we say shamed ones, those that have lost their name and were called the Vong. Why is this important? Because everything that evolves around the Vong evolves around their religious beliefs. And then we get into the caste system. You heard some of that mentioned in the deity stuff, but the Supreme Overlord was the highest caste. He was in control over all the other castes. So he was the top dog. Pretty much doesn't matter. He's just the guy that talks to the big guy, and he's the guy in charge of everything. Shapers were their scientists and supervised the biotechnology of the Vushun Vong. Their main purpose was to create, make it better, but organically. The priest caste, and they had considerable power in the Vong society. They served some of the lesser deities, but they were several sects of all the gods. Each god had their own religious sect. And there was ranks in that caste system too. And the higher priest had a lot of power and influence in the society. Now, the most important caste was the war caste. They were the ones that served as army as the armies of the Vong, and the largest caste, who essentially served the military branch of the race. They were trained from early age all the way through until adulthood. They were exceptional warriors, and they believed mainly in the slayer who we mentioned, and they sought honor in combat. They wore living. We talked about their armor. It's a Vondun crab armor, which was capable of resisting blaster fire or lightsabers. It did have weak points, which Jedi eventually fixed, but they had all their other weapons that we talked about, their staffs. They had things like these living gelatins that can be thrown, and it could be hard enough that it can impact hard, but then it can turn to jelly and then harden again, so it could trap somebody on their foot. So you could throw it on the ground, it becomes jelly. They step on it, it becomes hard and pins your opponent in place so you can get them out, take them out. That was some of the tactics and stuff they did. The intendant caste was the caste that kept the Vushun Vong society functioning, and basically these are the economy. They weren't high up in the chain, but they were important. They kept trade and everything else going on. The worker caste were the ones that did all the labor, they did all the grunt work. You know, we know how that is. And then we have the shamed or the shunned. They could do anything. They had to basically, if you owed a debt or you had been shunned, you had to prove yourself again. You can only be proven, or you had to be made whole again. They had to go through all this stuff to do it. And you were treated
to the mines.
You're basically treated like shit. Yeah. The big thing about the religion, though, right? The religion taught them. Vong ruled the galaxy. The galaxy was created for the Vong. Technology is evil. And anyone who uses it, or anywhere there is technology, it must be purged. the Vong came in like a tsunami. When the war first happened in the books, I think it was Kip Duren and a couple of other Jedi that were flying missions. They ran into the first, you know, scout parties for the Vong. And Kip, I think, was the only one that lived. And then from there, he started spreading the word. It, just like in all the other times we've talked about them, the New Republic was very slow to react. Like, what is this? Are you, they didn't believe him. You know, then it started happening. They just came in like a swarm of locusts, and every planet that they took over, they would immediately kill everything off, destroy all the technology, droids especially. They really thought droids were an abomination. Anywhere they saw droids, they didn't want to hear it. They had to be destroyed immediately. But yeah.
Where were they during the Clone Wars?
I know, right? Oh, the Vong would have been just going at it. But they didn't, I mean, there was no give to the Vong. They were in it and they believed it and there was no change in their minds. It wasn't until later in the war with what the stuff that happened with Anakin and Jason and Jaina especially, that the Vong started changing their ways. And then when they eventually do find their homeworld, they go back to what they really were. They're still tough warriors and stuff, but they change their view of other stuff and the planet kind of changes them and they rejoin and then they actually become productive members. But during this time, for this period of time, this is the most brutal, bloody, destructive thing this galaxy has ever seen. Whole planets were changed. Some were changed irrevocably where they would never be what they were before. Some were given back and then through time, but with the terraforming and stuff that they did. But when you think about 300 trillion lives, whole races of beings were lost forever. The Vong didn't care, you know, because that's just what they did. They did have honor, though. When they fought, they did fight and anything went, but there were certain codes and stuff. I think Luke called out the leader and they fought, but that was an honorable combat. They believed in that stuff, but they just wanted to fight and kill. That's what their warcast is all about. And think of them as the evil Spartans in this situation. But yeah, I mean, this is what made the Vong so potent. This made the Vong so crazy. Their technology, nobody had ever seen it before. They didn't know what to do with it. You know, we just talked about the warriors. Think about every warrior that can, you know, this last block blaster bolts and block lightsabers. What are you going to do then, right? Their ships were really hard to kill. It wasn't until later that they developed technology. I know that they used I can't remember, it's a while since I read the book, but I think they used a virus against them to try to wipe out some of them. It's how desperate the New Republic. But the Vong were so bad that at the time, the Imperial Revenant, the New Republic, everybody put aside their differences because the Vong didn't care who you were. You weren't them. So it's the first time in the storied history that all factions kind of united. There's a great story where Boba Fett saves Han's life. I mean, everybody just put aside their differences. Like, yeah, the Vong are bad. They're killing everything. So we got to, you know, this petty shit over here. Not important right now. We got to live because
you knocked that off. You hear me?
These guys are like, we don't care about that shit. You're not us. You gots to go. And they didn't play. I mean, that's a big, crazy number, 300 trillion. And if you look at how they just swarmed through the galaxy, I mean, it was incredible. So that's the Vong. We will go back and cover specific stuff in the Vong. We're going to cover Jason and Jaina, and that's going to be a big thing in the storyline of them. I do want to cover Anakin Solo. But to cover them, we had to get a general sense of who the Vong are, just so you have an understanding of their society and just some basic stuff of how they work. So when I get into these specific characters and their story arcs and we start talking about the specific characters in the Vong and or with them and what happens with them and some of the stuff that happens, you have a general sense of who the Vong are, what they're about, their ideas, their religion, and their society. So that's kind of the basics. That's what I wanted to start today, is just get you a taste of the Vong. Because I don't even remember how many books. I think it was like 30 books or something crazy.
Yeah, it's huge. The collection is huge. It goes over the entire story of the Yuuzhan Vong. There's all kinds of things that cover that they try to tie back and forth. Isn't one of the books like them trying to rationalize Palpatine's taking over the Republic by trying to prepare it for the Yuuzhan Vong War?
Yeah, that's what the Empire was saying. Why don't we just let Palpatine? Because Palpatine wouldn't put up with this shit. But even then, the Empire at its full might still would have not been prepared for what the Vong brought.
Oh, no, not a snowball's chance in hell. But I just remember a lot of books that came out after the Yuuzhan Vong tried to turn like people who were doing bad things into like morally gray characters. They tried it with Palpatine.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the reason why Palpatine usurped the Republic was to prepare the galaxy for the invasion. And then somebody else wrote the same thing with Revan. Like, that's the vision Revan had from the Emperor. And then the Emperor from the old Republic was doing the same thing, was trying to prepare the galaxy for the Yuuzhan Vong invasion, which I'm kind of like, I get it. They are a great villain because they're just not, they're not like evil. They just don't, it's our code. We fight by our, they're kind of like Mandalorian-esque villains. They're not bad people. They just, this is what we do.
They do bad things though. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. We can't argue that, but it's interesting that they keep trying to circle back to it. I'm glad that they've deviated from that now and they're going to let, but I do hope at a certain point, Star Wars kind of does head back that direction. And they do it well, because that's like always the downside with a lot of the things in Star Wars, is that they don't want to go to that level of atrocity.
Sorry about that. The old computer froze. So this is part two of this video that I will cut together. So if you see the other part in and we get right here, that's why. So Karth was giving his thought. We'll continue from there. And then we'll start getting this final.
Oh, yeah. We just wrapping up the thought. It's just we'll see if it caught on the other one. Ranger will let me know. But I mean, I just kind of think with the Yuuzhan Vong, they're just a great villain because they just don't have the same checks and balances and morality that we see so often that the writers in the current Star Wars universe use as leverage to make things happen for the good guys.
Well, I think in those series,
I'd love to see that play out.
They had a bunch of authors, like R.S. Salvatore, I think, was involved with this, but they had a bunch of authors come in and write their own parts of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's what made the series so great. If you've not read it, it's really good. Start with Vector Prime. And then just go from there. And it's there's some slow parts, but I mean, the epic moments in this book are really awesome. Anakin's just a badass in this book. So is Jason and Jaina. Jaina more than anything. I mean, she's the first one that develops. Remember, we talked about one of the force powers that Nomi Sunrider did, battle meditation. She's the first one to find it and reuse it again in the Star Wars mythos, and gave the Jedi huge advantage in the war. There was a lot of stuff, and you talked about the morality in there. There was a great scene in there where the Vong thought that they were gonna do a certain thing, but the Empire came in, and for the first time since, you know, this happens like 20-25 years after the end of the, you know, Return of the Jedi and the Imperial Remnant and stuff, but there's like, you know, your capital ships can bomb planets, right? Like, yeah, let's do that. And they started doing that to the Vong. They started going to the planets they took over, and you would start firing the Vong. And the Vong are like, "All right, we're gonna get them." And all of a sudden, they just look up, and then obliteration. That's how this war went.
Terrorist 2.0, ready,
I mean,
go.
For the first time, I mean, the Empire is like, "Wow, this is what these ships were designed to do. Yeah, let's do that." You know, because the Vong put him in that corner. You know, so it's some really cool moments like that. And Jason has a really powerful moment where they actually think he is one of the twins, because he has this moment in the Force where the Vong are like, "Oh shit, okay, maybe we bit off more than we can chew here," you know. So yeah, there's just these really powerful moments and a lot of funny moments. And this sees the birth in this series of Ben Skywalker, Luke and Mara Jade's son, and that's a big moment in this as well, and what happens with that. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff. I'm going to leave it to, you know, Ram, I mean, going into this, I know you'd heard of the Vong, but I mean, were you as familiar with them as, you know, as I just mentioned, or had you read any of the books or anything like that?
No, I've read very little on them. I've heard them, obviously, but I had no idea that they worshipped a pair of incestual gods.
One of them, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's really weird because if you couldn't mate or have any kind of relationship outside of your caste, right? Period. It was just frowned upon. And if you did, you could be, you would normally.
Caste being like family, right?
Family,
no, like a caste. Sect of
you, if you're, a if sect you're, of people. Yeah, but your family was in that caste unless it was changed.
Think of right? Think of how the Indian culture is.
Like
over...
you're a priest cannot have like a priest male cannot have sex with a female warrior, or be married yeah. or have they can have any kind of relationship, or they're both being sacrificed.
But you had to stay in the same tribe essentially.
Basically, yes.
Keep it in the family. Got it.
Not just family, just yeah, but yeah.
Listen here, Southern boy.
Don't you be talking about my sister wife like that. I'll cut you.
Not that kind of family.
Yeah. It's interesting that we're talking about this if, you know, Rangers in Alabama. It's crazy.
Not originally from Alabama, but yes, I am familiar with the topic. Yeah.
Really? You're familiar with the topic?
So we know what
when you're in it, when you're in the shit there, you just kind of, you learn, you know? I mean... You know, when anytime you go to a different part of the world, you just
did you miss the right hole or what happened?
No. It was literally in the shit.
Right in that shit, you know. Alabama. But any other thoughts there, Ram? Because we are going to get more into the Vong in the lore series as we move forward. But that's going to be the specific stories of these characters. And I'll get into the specific Vong because there's too many to list. You just mentioned how many books there are. Way too many battles and shit to go on that we can get into. So we'll get into specificity, whatever you want to say.
No, yeah, I had no idea about their whole, you know, hatred of technology. But I love the idea of the Vong. I'm more familiar with obviously Jason and Jaina, and I know Neovenom's gonna hate me for saying that, but he's gonna love me actually. I love Jason and Jaina.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, they both
can't wait to talk about them.
And the Vong War separates those two. Because after the Vong War, what happens to Jason leads him on a pilgrimage for the Force. But it leads him down like we've seen before. Because of his trauma that he's gone through, it twists him to the dark side and leads him to becoming Darth Cadus. And then the big confrontation between Jaina and Jason, which is really tragic. But yeah, the Vong has a huge impact on Han and Leia, Luke, everybody, especially Han and Leia, because Anakin's death and Chewie's death really impacted the entire family because Chewie was one of them and he saved Anakin and that had a big impact and Han was on a vengeance. Anakin's lost really deeply affected Han and Leia moving through the stories. It had a lot of impact. People were when that book came out and Chewie died, man, I mean, he went out like a boss. The only way you can kill Chewie, you drop a planet on him. That's the only way you're going to kill Chewie, or you drop a moon on him, right? People were pissed that Chewie went out that way.
Yeah, rightfully so.
And then
it's Chewie
died and they were really pissed.
You saw the outrage in the theaters when they tried to kill him in the Skywalker series or the what is that? It's the sequel trilogy,
The Rise.
Yeah. And the thing is that kills me is like I get why they didn't want to go down this road for with the Disney takeover, but at the same time I feel like this is the problem with some of that stuff is that we get such great content that's kind of already laid out there, and then we get a left hand turn. And it's just like. Man,
yeah,
to enjoy some of that on screen because I would love to see
I
that
think
play out.
After they do all this stuff with what they're doing now, but if they really want to do something unique, you know, I would love to see if they did it with the new upcoming Rey movie. You know,
ooh, I hard pass on that being.
Well,
reality.
I'm saying she creates a new Jedi Order, but that's
yeah,
kinda,
but
it gets the Vong come in and start saying, "Oh, hey guys."
Yeah, but that's coming in on the tail end of her starting it, right?
Right. So it's just like, I'm saying in the future, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They might go down that road at some point. They might space it out farther away. Because, yeah. I mean, that was the, I think the problem we saw with a lot of the stuff is in Star Wars is that everything feels too close together. And it feels like, how does something fall apart so fast? Now, they're doing a decent job showing that in some of the newer content of sometimes the complete, we don't want to be a part of that causes its own problems. And so as long as it's well told, I'm fine with it. But I get to the point where I'm like, I would like to see some of this kind of more legend stuff make its way to the screen. I really hope they go a little more ham-fisted with the Ahsoka series and the Imperial Remnant kind of going bananas. But
well, I'm excited for that movie announcement that they're going to get to the origins of the Jedi, the Jedi. I hope they go there. It'd be really dope. Cash, introduction. Had you heard of the Vong before? What do you think, buddy?
I mean, I've heard of them, just like, you know, I've heard the name before. But after like all everything happened and like very impactful, did Han go back to smuggling, and did Luke become a loner and go on onto his own planet by himself?
Actually, Luke it changes his viewpoint in the Force with what they go through. This is when the Living Force and all this stuff starts coming back to the Jedi, and he reshapes the Jedi. He raises his son, him and Mara. Do you want the full spoilers or?
Well, if we're going to get to it in another episode, if you eventually plan on doing it.
Eventually will, but I mean, it leads to Jason becoming Darth Cadus and killing Mara Jade. And then, was Jason's apprentice, because he was a Jedi at the time. And then he, you know, it leads to this whole story. Confronts Jedi, Luke, but stands still. They don't, Luke just can't kill him. Jaina did have, I mean, it was her brother and she loved him, but she went and got trained by Boba Fett in the Mandalorian ways, puts on a suit of Mandalorian armor and goes and finds Jason and takes him out because she felt it was her responsibility, not Luke's, to do that. But yeah, there's a lot of, yeah.
And then actually a legitimate question about these, about the gods.
Yeah.
Were they like, are they real?
They don't know. Like, just what they believe they were.
Okay. Yeah. It's,
they don't really get into, were they real? Like, you know, like, are they one of these beings that, they don't really delve into that too much. The priest cast looking through this thing and they get messages from the gods, and that kind of dictated certain things and how they acted and stuff. They would look for signs they were looking for their plan. They were looking for something. They didn't know what it was, and they had reached the point that they had reached the pinnacle of what they could do with their technology through the knowledge that they had, and they kept looking for more. They couldn't find it, mainly because they couldn't find their planet. They didn't realize it at the time. Good question.
I still don't understand how you lose a planet. They should have developed.
They were rejected. So like when GPS. They started, so they were a peaceful race. Some stuff happened, but when they started becoming and worshiping these other deities, and it could be the original seven deities were these original seven beings of the race that we don't know, that they, when they started turning into war, and I don't remember the exact details of it, but basically the planet rejected them, right? It said, okay, you're off, because it's a living planet. It can do that. So they were left wondering, and then they lost track of, you know, because the planet just left them there and then took off somewhere else and they could never find it. And then, you know how it goes. Legend became myth. Myth became, you know, an afterthought. And then this society developed from what had happened from that. It wasn't until in the books and the stuff here that they eventually find their planet and become a whole different thing. Not after they killed 300 trillion people. I mean, that number is just staggering. 300 trillion humanoid.
Yeah, but beings. You look at some of the stuff in Star Wars and it's hard to wrap your brain around some of the populations of some of the planets, just because we don't have that level right yet. We're like at 7 billion on our planet. So it's hard to wrap your head around. Because just for reference sake. Yeah, like the population of Coruscant is 2 trillion people. Yeah. So it's like.
Doesn't look like it.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, it's like you take out a few of those planets, and you get to like, you know, 10 trillion pretty fast.
Yeah. You gotta think, imagine that census, though.
Well, it just puts you in the size. It's a galaxy. We never think about how big that is, right? We just think it in terms of, we see it on a map, but it doesn't really do justice to the incredible amount of life and planets and systems, right, that are in this galaxy. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of billions of stars, their own systems. And for the Vong, what they did, it tells you how big of an impact the Vong were. I mean, the Vong, more than any other entity that ever has fought in the Star Wars galaxy, that's why they had such an impact, just with what they did.
The Genghis Khan of Star Wars.
Really, yeah. They really were. I mean, they were the Horde. They came in and just terrorized, and they were unrelenting, and they didn't give a shit. They didn't stop. You know, the only is either killed or be killed. That was it. There was no negotiating with them. They didn't negotiate. You know, you couldn't try to make peace talks with them. They were not interested in any of that shit. It was like, you're not us. You got to go. This is ours, and we're not going to hear anything else.
The 300 trillion, if you think about it, what was there, 30 books? So what is that, like 10 trillion a book? So that's not that bad, if you break it down like that.
Well, some books...
break it into chapters, and it's really, you know, it's just, you know...
It's a manageable number at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's only like a trillion people dying per chapter of the book. Come on, it's okay.
Staggering. Yeah, but I mean... and they do a good job of really showing the Vong society, because you've got so many books that breaks it out, and you get into the inner workings of them, which we didn't really get into, but you know, their relationships and how they, you know, they're just like us, just different in the sense of how, but there's, at the end of the day, they're schemers and stuff, they're vying for power and things of that nature. But they get into how they terraform planets with their creatures. They'd send creatures in that would actually start terraforming the planet to make it more hospitable for them, but also to create planets that would, they would use the resources of the planet to then start changing it to, so that they could start growing more ships and more weapons and doing all that stuff. So they would populate the planet after they would terraform, and they would terraform it fast. The creatures, these giant creatures would be sent in there, but I mean, the ships were alive. Everything was alive. If you think about their capital ships, their ships are alive, and they're in conjunction with the Vong as they're going forward. And, you know, that's what made them so powerful, as, you know, with their fleets and stuff, is that they're all linked. They're living creatures talking to one another, you know, doing their shit, you know. So that's
almost like the Aquaman.
Like the Lord. Yeah, in a way. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
A legitimate question. Is this before or after Abeloth?
Before.
Right? Before,
yeah, okay. So all that stuff happens, all the stuff with Jason happens, but because of Jason, he sets in motion all the stuff that happens with Abeloth later in the book.
Yeah, because this is the he goes to the
Maw.
Go ahead.
On his pilgrimage, and that gets her interested and gets her, you know, going again. Go ahead, Garth.
Oh, I just it was kind of like the deities of the Yusung Vong weren't like established as like real versus like the Celestials, which now have actually been established as real.
Yeah,
so
it could be.
Deity in Star Wars is really hard to place, because the Force being what it is, so many things become like, if you can't explain the power, then it must be, you know, supernatural. Yeah. And so it's just kind of funny, because like, if you know about the Jedi, being able to lift things with the Force doesn't seem all that impressive. But if you don't know about them, having somebody be able to just move mountains literally, you would probably think that's a god. So it's interesting to see how they kind of utilize that in different societies.
And the cool thing too is, as you moved up in each of the caste systems, especially in the warrior system, the more scars and the more stuff you could cut off and put on to make you more powerful, the higher your rank went. The more battles you won, the more scars you had, the more, you know, augments you had. And they would make themselves, and you were only allowed to do this if you had been granted the right to do it. That means you won a major battle or victory or things of that nature. Then you would be given the privilege to cut off your hand and put something there, or cut off your arm and put something, or cut out your eye, or change your face to look more like the gods. So the high caste system, they looked like the gods. in whichever one that they worshipped or were representing. But you're only allowed to do that if you had earned that right through battle or through other things.
So like in the Book of Boba, the that crew, like how they modded themselves, like the they kind of like that. The modders or whatever.
Yeah. But I mean those guys, I mean
listen, I understand, you know, they just did it because they were cool kids.
Yeah, but these guys did because this is their fundamental foundation of their society.
They did it because they needed a way to save Fennec.
But they did it on purpose, in a sense, because it made them closer to their gods. And then they would sacrifice everything to the gods, you know, themselves if you're done wrong, if you were going to be punished. And definitely if you weren't Vong, you weren't somewhat needed by them. Death, sacrifice, especially the droids, technology, factories, buildings, anything that wasn't organic. Nature had to go, and if it was organic in nature and it wasn't the way they liked it, they would bioengineer it differently. So whether it was trees or any other living life, they didn't give a shit about it. Wasn't long origin, so it had to go. Big thing today, had to go. All right, any other questions about the Vong? Our first little taste of the Vong. We are going to definitely get into more of them as we cover some of these other characters, because they play a major part in the Legends books. And we will cover it here. But any final questions from the idiots?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So if you like this stuff, leave a comment. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe on YouTube. Check out the podcast. As I said, this will be out tomorrow for the Patreon. So think about coming to Patreon, as I said previously. If not, you can download it on Podbeam and Amazon. And I'll keep working on Spotify. I'm hoping to get that one day. And then you'll be able to download it there. So on behalf of myself and the idiots, thanks for joining us today. And we look forward to you next week. Peace out.